Greetings. You are listening to Christian Radio, WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 Minutes of the End Time Religious Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistry.com, Westminster, Colorado, since 1992. Your host is Rita Williams. Email r421@earthlink.net. People always ask, why Cephas and how do you spell Cephas? In John 1, 42 and 1 Peter 2:5, the Bible states Cephas represents a stone. Cephas is spelled C-E-P-H-A-S. C as in Charles, E, P as in Peter, H as in help, A, S as in Sam. Matrix is most likely another unfamiliar concept if you have not seen the movie Matrix. Webster's Dictionary states the following. Matrix is something like a mold or womb that gives form, foundation, or origin to something else enclosed inside of it. Matrix can also apply to many concepts. Take a womb, for instance, in which a baby is conceived. The mother's body nourishes the child. She has no idea what kind of individual the child is going to be once it is outside of the womb. This program is about exposing the religious matrix. It's something that is inside the womb of the Vatican, which we call the religious matrix, could be you, may or may not be caught up in it. Your eternal life could be in jeopardy if you don't pay close attention to this program. It will be packed with information that you need to know if you are the something that is inside of the religious matrix. Cephas Ministry has dedicated 3 websites to exposing the religious matrix. Cephas Ministry has cephas-radio.com. Programs are archived and downloadable there. Cephas-news.com. It has 60 free films exposing the religious matrix. And matrix.cephasministry.com, where comments are active. The reason for this broadcast is Pope Francis. He suddenly came on the scene and seemingly like a messiah, attracts people of faith, interfaith, of all faith, Hollywood, media, and even atheists to himself as no other pope has before. Even though Pope Francis tells people that he doesn't have time left to live, much time left to live, he travels from country to country. To his own amazement, he is greeted by millions expressing euphoria. Many are moved to tears, hoping he will be an acting savior, although his message is about worldly issues like global warming, poverty, and tolerance. Most believers are pro-Israel. The Pope Francis is pro-Palestinians, who are Muslims. What I noticed recently, Christians seem to go the same way. Why are they moving in the direction of Islam? Do you know that Christianity and Islam have developed a new movement named Chrislam? In spite of the fact that Christians are taught in 2 Corinthians 6:15, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? In one of the last books of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, King James Version, the prophet describes what God told him. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as a town without walls for the multitude of men. God promises that he will be the glory in Jerusalem again. The Lord told Zion to come home because he wants them to know him and rejoice because he plans to live in the midst of them. The verses end with, "And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up of his holy habitation." The undercurrent, which we call the religious matrix, began with Pope John Paul II. With Vatican II, the Vatican took a new direction that may or may not be noticed by Catholics. Pope Francis is an atheist gathering the tares, Matthew 13, verse 30. Those who follow him will be subject to the delusion in 2 Thessalonians 2:11. In other words, they will be punished with spiritual blindness. The Word was made flesh, John 1:14, representing Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Since God left the preaching up to men, I will be letting them tell you what to be aware of. Keep listening after I sign off. To stay connected, subscribe to free newsletters at go-deepest.com. God bless you and thanks for listening. Shalom. Following is an excerpt from Douglas Batchelor, who analyzes the Pope's call for unity of all religions, part 3.
"And the hearts of the children to the fathers, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Ministries of reconciliation. We need to throw as much resources and energy into the ministry of reconciliation as we do to the ministry of evangelization. Or are we building walls without foundations? I challenge you to find a bridge builder and back him or her. And I'd like to pray this prayer. And if you agree, you can say amen. This is a dying man's prayer. And when you know you're about to die, you certainly pray the most important prayers. He said, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one." Glory to the Father. Amen.
Okay, so part of that prayer of Jesus is, of course, that there would be oneness, that we could be united. But it also says in John chapter 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." What it's going to be that will unite us is the Spirit of God, and the Spirit is the truth of God. The teachings, yes, those are the words. Again, John 16, same book, verse 13. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." It's through the truth that we will have unity. It is through the doctrines. That's what brings people together. As we come closer together in the theology of the Bible, the doctrines of truth, we come closer together in Christ, because Jesus is the Word made flesh. It's not as we come closer together in a feeling, a charisma, or a feeling of glory when we're baptized with the gift of tongues. That's not what brings the church together. That's not what real unity is. Very little reference to the Word of God and truth that sets us free in this. Now I think he's going to be playing his segment from the Pope.
"Then others shall see this. Excuse me, because I speak in Italian, but I am not want to speak in English. But I will speak here. No Italian, no English, but certainly.
Now, first I think that the audience was thunderstruck when they saw the Pope come on the screen, that it actually is the Pope. This isn't a letter that's being read from the Pope. The Pope himself was specifically addressing this conference. Matter of fact, in the video message, he says, I've sent my friend, Tony Palmer, longtime friend, with this message. Makes you wonder about the gravitas that this person has in the Vatican and if we're going to be seeing more of them in the future. And again, I want to reiterate that, you know, the greatest part of Christ's true followers are not members of my church. I believe that there are genuine, sincere Christians in many different denominations. The Pope himself seems like a wonderful man. He reminds me of my grandfather. He looks just like my grandfather, really. But I just want to make sure that everybody is not tricked into thinking that this is all as homey and heartfelt as it's being made to appear. It is very possible that this message was somewhat scripted, that there were some notes that were reviewed, and then it was delivered extemporaneously, but there was an outline. And so this message, I think, is strategic. It might have been put on a smartphone so that it appears to be just on the cuff. But let's keep watching.
È una lingua più semplice e più autentica. E questa lingua del cuore ha un linguaggio e una grammatica speciale. La grammatica semplice, due regole. Ama Dio, soprattutto, e ama l'altro perché tuo fratello e la tua sorella. E con queste due cose andiamo avanti.
That is the statement that I hear as I do evangelism around the country and the world from other Christians. They say, we don't need the Ten Commandments. We don't need the Sabbath. It is true. The Ten Commandments are summarized in love for God and love for your neighbor. It's in the heart. But sometimes those statements are used to diminish the importance of specifically obeying God's commandments. And so, while this is beautiful, and I do agree we need to love the Lord and love our neighbor, that is not to dismiss the importance of specifically obeying the Ten Commandments. Let's go ahead.
Io sono qui con mio fratello, mio vescovo fratello Fontana. Siamo amici da anni. E lui mi ha detto del vostro convegno, del vostro raduno. Con piacere. Quindi un saluto gioioso e nostalgico. Gioioso perché a me dà gioia che voi siete riuniti per lodare Gesù Cristo, l'unico Signore, per pregare al Padre e ricevere lo Spirito. E questo dà gioia perché si vede che il Signore lavora in tutto il mondo. È nostalgico perché, ma succede come nei quartieri fra noi, no? Nei quartieri ci sono famiglie che si vogliono e famiglie che non si vogliono, famiglie che si uniscono e famiglie che si separano. E noi siamo un po', mi permetto la parola, separati.
So, he's basically saying that I greet you with joy that you're gathered together to worship Jesus, but I'm also doing it with nostalgia or yearning, as it would be translated in Italian, meaning I'm looking back to when we were one family. And we need to be one family again is the emphasis of the message.
Separati perché i peccati ci hanno separati, i nostri peccati. I malintesi nella storia, ma una lunga strada di peccato comunitario. Ma chi ha la colpa? Tutti abbiamo la colpa. Tutti siamo peccatori.
Now, to me, this could be the biggest understatement of the millennium, that all those 30 to 50 million people that were executed by the Catholic Church, this was a big misunderstanding, and we don't know who's to blame. Well, I think it's because there is such a great divergence of theology that people would not recognize the superiority and the authority of the Church, and I don't believe that they've